There has been a great deal of talk about four-year colleges and universities as students move back onto campuses, or maybe they just log in remotely. What about the Commonwealth's community colleges? How will their students, who are often working while attending school and maybe low income or represent populations who have suffered disproportionate impact from the coronavirus pandemic, how will they manage this fall? And how will the community colleges themselves navigate this moment, especially with resources constrained for them and their students? So let's talk about that. With me are the leaders of two local community colleges. We have Pam Ettinger. She's the president of Bunker Hill Community College. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Valerie Robertson. She's the president of Roxbury Community College. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have both of you. And on this important topic, we know the old saying, you know, with crisis comes opportunity. And I know I'm putting you on the spot, but in this moment, what is the bigger headline for the Commonwealth's 15 community colleges? Is it the crisis part or the opportunity part? And I'd love to hear from both of you. President Ettinger, maybe you can go first.
I would love to have folks see us as the steady, no drama kids, right? We don't have dorms to deal with. We don't have groups of students coming back and not knowing what the future is going to look like. We're the steady ones. I would like to see this as a difficult time period, but there's certainly opportunities to look to the future, right? Because we are, all of our students are local. They come within 8 miles of the college and they're on the T. They're part of the city. Right. It's not like we're importing folks from outside the city. What is tough, I think the crisis part, is that our students' lives are complex, right? They're tied into what's going on at the K-12 districts. Are there children going back to school? Is their economic and working lives stable? Are they having rent issues? Do they have enough food? So the issues that they deal with are the everyday issues they're dealing with already. And COVID just pushed it.
How about you, President? I'm sorry to interrupt, President Ettinger. I'm sorry. Please finish. So, President Robertson, then, what is your perspective? Crisis, opportunity. What's the headline right now for community colleges?
I agree with President Ettinger, and I'd add that this crisis has caused us to be even more flexible than we have been in the past, and so as we've noted, our students typically have adult responsibilities, including childcare. Well, at this point, the pandemic caused us to change from about 10% classes that were online to 90% classes online. And those classes are ultimately a lot more flexible and forgiving if you have childcare issues or if you have a job.
So to that point, I'll stay with you for a minute longer, President Robertson. With 90% of the classes going online, with the complex lives of your students, what are you watching most closely as you reopen, and what are you worried about the most?
Well, I think it's hard for students to persist without having some of the social supports and the physical contact. And so we'll be looking at ways in which we can reach out to students throughout their time this semester. And I'm also concerned about students' access to technology. And so we've started a program at RCC called Rockstars, where we are loaning laptops to students who are pursuing their degree. And so we know then that everybody can enter the class on the same footing with the technology that they need to be successful.
President Ettinger, heavily online besides small labs for you at Bunker Hill, many of your students typically would commute to class. So this in-person learning is tied to the city's response to the virus. I'm thinking about the Boston Public Schools and other districts that are either opening remotely online or gradually moving to hybrid, like the BPS is starting in October. What are you watching for when you think about a reopening with in-person? And is that a priority right now?
Well, we are about the same as what Dr. Robertson was talking about. We're about 10 to 15% on ground only when we have to be. And that's our labs, our nursing labs. You can't do those, you know, remote, or our culinary labs or respiratory care and all of those pieces that needs to be on ground. But we're very careful. They're all PPE'd. That's a new verb these days, I guess. And they're masked and they're physically distant. And we are We are aware that, you know, we would have to do symptomatic tracing if that happens. We're doing a little bit of surveillance testing to make sure that we're in line with the city's expectations. So that piece of it, we're concerned, we're watchful, but we're not fearful in that way. The K-12 districts is settling into a first online and then gradually hybrid. The one piece that I do watch for is that our students are the parents of the kids who are in BPS. So whatever it is that they do will have reverberations, I guess. So we watch closely to make sure that the basic needs are met, as Dr. Roberson had noted. Our food pantry now is delivering food to our students, and we're mailing out gift cards for grocery stores and so on to make sure that their lives don't get turned any more upside down than it already is.
So let me ask the two of you, you know, you're both in this sort of immediate or close to immediate Boston area. I wonder, what are you hearing from your colleagues about reopening, methods of reopening, and whether students will come back in the other 13 community colleges around the Commonwealth? Are there significant regional differences, or are the concerns relatively consistent among your colleagues? President Roberson, maybe you can start.
Sure. I think if there are 15 colleges, there are 15 differences in terms of what we're seeing. Some parts of the state are not having the same level of incidence of COVID infection, and so they are able to do a bit more than we are in Boston. But I think there are variable options that colleges are employing to serve the mix of students that they have, because likewise, they also have a different mix of the kinds of programs that are offered. And so you'll see a different response by college based on the programs as well as the students.
Right. President Ettinger, yeah, please.
I would say I would tend to agree. The 15 communities are resilient in 15 different ways. We're urban and larger, and we have small rural colleges out in Greenfield and the Berkshires. I think the concerns about quality instructions and the professional development that we've been doing with our faculty over the summer has made a huge amount of difference. I mean, folks are looking at online as if it's new. We've been doing it for years in the community colleges because of the students we have, right, that we all needed the flexibility. So this pivot, even though it seems so dramatic, was where we were heading anyway. So I think there's definitely huge opportunities for greater flexibility. And we know that the traditional population of students are getting more and more scarce. And it's going to be the adult who's going to be our workforce. So we're moving in that direction, and we're just moving a little quicker. Mm.
President Ettinger, for our listeners, I just want to acknowledge we've got a little bit of a hiccup in your line. We're going to keep going because I want to be able to continue to talk with both of you, but I did just want to acknowledge that. President Roberson, I want to talk about the impact and the strain on low-income students in community colleges. Last year, over 80% of students at Roxbury Community College were Pell Grant eligible, meaning that they qualified for a federal grant awarded to a student solely based on financial need. Will we see more Pell Grant students coming into community colleges now as we see unemployment rise? We have the highest unemployment rate in the country right now. Or will we see fewer because students will be facing even more increased hardship and will not be able to enroll or continue to enroll as they may have been in previous years? How do we think about that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see a bit of both. I think that we will see more students because they are realizing that the jobs that are available really don't provide enough money and support for their families. And so they'll be looking to retrain for what I see as new emerging fields that will come out of the pandemic or fields that need to be adjusted to adjust to the new conditions. So we'll see more of our students. We'll also see some students that are not Pell eligible that really understand the value of community colleges. So for our schools, it's a little around $6,000 for a full-time student for the full year. And if you can't go to a campus where there's that great experience on campus, then, and you're staying at home, then all of a sudden the community college looks like a great option at a very affordable cost where your courses are going to transfer. So I fully expect to see more students than we generally will see.
And President Ettinger, you've said that moving all 1,700 classes and sections online in 2 weeks last spring was one of the worst things that you'd ever experienced. Last semester, you bought over 1,000 Chromebooks as well as Wi-Fi hotspots for students. Is it enough? Are you ready now? Has that transition? Are you comfortable with it? And do students have the supports they need to be able to participate in courses, you know, in whatever way they may want to access them now?
I would be a fool to say to you, we got it figured out. We know what doesn't work, and we're trying to move away from what doesn't work. We've been doing a lot of training, and we've been learning. It's going to take probably another couple of cycles to really work out all the bugs, right? And sometimes they're small, sometimes they're large, and we can't always control it because it's the students' living situations that sometimes dictate their needs, and we aren't always aware of it. I was telling someone that, you know, COVID has been kind of like a crack of lightning in the dark, right? All of a sudden, you're seeing all these things that are sort of hidden, that are needs that now we have to fulfill because we don't have a choice anymore. In some ways, it's an indictment of how little system investments that we've made in the past. But now that we know, we can fix them pieces at a time that we know about. So the support services that that Dr. Robertson had noted, well, now we have tutoring online. We have the wraparound services and the case management online. We have chat. We have live chats. So those things just came into being this summer. And we're going to get better at it, probably, you know, over the next semester. But I'm sure other things will surface. This is an iterative process. It's not a magical process. But every time we do it, we're going to get better at it. And certainly I'm hopeful that our students are also building capacities and competencies that they didn't have before, that's going to help them as they, you know, move into the workforce. So yeah, you know, it still gives me a little heartburn, but not as much as in March when I turned those courses all onto online.
We are talking to Pam Ettinger, the president of Bunker Hill Community College, and Valerie Robertson, president of Roxbury Community College. President Robertson, President Ettinger said a minute ago, you know, this was sort of like COVID was like a strike of lightning in the dark. And I have been thinking about that because it does lay bare some of the challenges, especially with 4 year colleges and universities that are online. The overwhelming expense and life upset or life disruption that a 4 year institution requires of a student, whether it's an adult learner or a young person, versus the transition that a community college can allow a young person to make into higher education. At the same time, Massachusetts has long been criticized for underinvesting in its community colleges, as President Ettinger was just saying. Does this lightning strike create room for you to make a case to the Commonwealth for investment that you haven't been able to successfully make in years past?
I think it does. And that the lightning strike from the pandemic is only the first strike of lightning. And the second one would be the racial unrest. And certainly for a college like RCC, who serves, you know, 80 to 90% of its students are students of color. So we are long aware of the challenges that this population brings to the educational environment. But I think what this whole period has done is highlight our challenges to the rest of the world. And I definitely think it makes a better case for people to understand what the challenges are in serving this unique population. And I think that there is more of an appetite and a desire, and even we're compelled now that we see what's in the dark, we have to address it, and we have to provide an educational opportunity that is going to be in all ways equal to all participants. Everybody deserves a chance, even though their individual course of study might be different, or the support that an individual needs might be different. But I think there's definitely more of an awareness of the students that we serve, the challenges, and the investment that really pays off when any individual becomes work ready and is able to make a better contribution to the community.
And do the two of you feel that the business communities that your students graduate into fully understand the import of your services? And do you have partnerships there that will help you ride through COVID-19 and help your students ride through it to the other side? President Ettinger.
I certainly believe that our business and industry partners know what they need. They are always very clear with us that, you know, they need nurses, they need CNAs, they need, you know, IT technicians and so on and so forth. I think as we enter the post-COVID era, and I guess I'm a little early in saying that, but I'm hoping that we will be entering the post-COVID era, that our business and industry partners are even more clear about what kinds and how many of these workers they need so that we can help them train. The hardest piece is projecting the future. And it's hard for us to train when we don't know what is needed out in the field. So the partnerships that we've had before, the conversations that we've had before with our partners needs to be even tighter and more focused, because we don't have time to waste. We don't have a lot of time to do the retraining in order to help the recovery of the economy.
And President Robertson, we have, you know, 30 seconds or so. In that time, what would make this year a success to you and to Roxbury Community College?
I want to see the students complete and be able to move on and get jobs. And so there'll be some students that are starting and some that'll be at the end of their program. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone be successful.
That is Valerie Robertson. She's president of Roxbury Community College. Thanks for joining us today. And Pam Ettinger. She's the president of Bunker Hill Community College. President Ettinger, thanks to you too.
Thank you.